Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Abraham Lincoln once said, "God must love the common folk because he made a whole lot of us." Let me modify that. God must love the wildernesses because he made a whole lot of them. I do believe that God has a preference for the wilderness, and we should as well. Not for its beauty, not for its pleasure, but because it's where we are transformed. It's the crucible of change. A wilderness is where we learn to lean on God. Who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning upon the arm of her beloved? The wilderness is where we perceive and receive. Beginning in Genesis and lasting through Revelation, we see the same thing over and over. God leads his people into the wilderness to change them. That's what the psalmist said. He led his people into the wilderness. God hasn't changed. He still does the same thing. He leads Job and Job's wife through the trials of their lives. He leads Lot and Lot's wife through the trial of their faith. He leads the Sarahs and the Rachels and the Rebeccas and the Deborahs through the trials. He leads those he loves through the wildernesses. And only then do we see what God can do. The wilderness is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible, and I promise you that in life you're going to face about that many of them. These wildernesses come. Question is simply, will you waste your wilderness? Or will you find the worth of it, the treasure, the valuable lessons that can only be learned in the wilderness? For if you and I go into the wilderness and come out no better, then we've wasted it. My name is Ken Gurley, and on Daily Devotion this week, we're talking faith for hard times. Today, we're going to look at the worth of a wilderness. What does it look like? What does a wilderness look like? Well, it comes in all shapes and sizes, and they approach us in different ways, but there's some common descriptions of a wilderness. A wilderness comes as a disruption to our comfort zone. The chief goal of the flesh, it seems, is quite simple: to be comfortable. Amos, though, said, "Woe to them who are at ease in Zion." Comfort attracts the enemy. God knows that. And he disrupts our comfort zone. The eagle stirreth her nest. He pulls us out of the easy chair and gets us on our knees. He pulls us away from our entertainment and distractions and gets us into intercession. A wilderness comes as a delay to our timetable. We count on things happening in a certain time and way and sequence, but God comes along and says, "I'm going to mess up your schedule just a little bit." And we are forced to enter into holding patterns and waiting rooms. That's a wilderness. Mary and Martha spent agonizing days waiting for Jesus to get to Bethany, to come and heal their brother, Lazarus. He didn't show up, and finally, 4 days after he had died, Jesus comes. It's the wilderness of waiting, where we are waiting on God to move. We want him to show up. We want to hear him, see him, find him. We have to learn to wait in faith. Don't waste that wilderness. A wilderness comes as the death of a dream. I can't explain it. I can only describe it. But every God-given dream that I've ever heard of or experienced myself usually must die before it can be born again. You know you've passed over the boundary into wilderness country when your dream dies. But if you can hold on to the remnants of that dream, if you can take that child born in miraculous circumstances and place him in the prophet's chamber, if you can move in the direction of a miracle and say all is well when your heart is breaking, then you're not wasting your wilderness, and that dream can come back to life. It can be resuscitated. A wilderness comes as a challenge to your character, a time of immense, intense testing, temptation, trial. Something is warring against your soul. It's a season of hurt and pain and loneliness and confusion when all the guns of hell are pointed at you. Job held to his integrity. Job came away more blessed after the wilderness than before. That's not wasting your wilderness. A wilderness comes as a season of immense pressure or dryness, drought. When the furnace of hell seems to open and the fire is heated 7 times hotter than ever before, you're faced with a blast from that furnace that crumples and cripples and crushes. Where do you go then? What do you do? One thing is for certain, you've got to go through. The question is not if you're going to get through, but will we learn anything in the process of this wilderness? Will we come out stronger and wiser for having gone through this time of testing? Let me give you some wilderness principles that I think may help you. First of all, realize this. The wilderness is only temporary. It came to pass. That phrase is found nearly 1,800 times in the Bible. It came to pass. Whatever has come against you, whatever trial has come your way, no matter how long and wide the desert may seem to stretch, this too shall pass. When you feel there is no way out, when you feel that God doesn't care, when you believe the heavens are silent and that God has no plans for you and doesn't love you, this too shall pass. When it feels that all have forsaken you, when you think you're all alone, when you believe that you've lost your last friend, this too shall pass. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." You're not asked to live in the valley. You're not asked to stay in the wilderness. You will exit this wilderness. You're going to make it out. But how will you make it out? Will you learn what you're supposed to learn? Will you change the way you were supposed to change? Will you come out of this wilderness leaning on the arm of the Lord? Understand, it's temporary. This will pass. Then something else you and I need to be exposed to is to understand the sevenfold purpose of the wilderness. Let me give you these real quickly. First, it gets our attention. Wouldn't it be great if God called our names and we said, "Here am I"? But quite often, God can't get through with his goodness. His blessings don't faze us. His kindness doesn't move us. He's left to taking us into a wilderness and speaking with us there. That's what Ezekiel said in chapter 3. "Go to the wilderness. I will talk to you there." That's where God gets our attention. It's where we hear him distinctly. The second part of this process, he teaches us to trust God in his word. Psalm 119, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes." One translation says, "My troubles turned out all for the best. They forced me to learn from your textbook." You're going to find some textbooks in the wilderness. You will learn what really matters. In this sevenfold process, the third thing, it reveals issues in our character. If you want to know what's inside a tube, squeeze it. If you want to know what's inside a jar, turn it upside down. When the pressure of life comes, when our world gets turned upside down, who we are reveals us. The real you appears in the wilderness, the stuff you've been harboring and holding. 25th chapter of Proverbs, "Take away the dross from silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." What holds you back is what's revealed in the wilderness. It's the dross coming to the surface of the molten metal when the flame gets hot. This sevenfold process, number four, it tests our faith and our faithfulness. It's not hard to believe God when things are good. In Deuteronomy 8, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart." That's a purpose of the wilderness. He doesn't tempt us to do evil, but he tests us and he builds our faith. The fifth thing in the sevenfold process, he forms an inner strength and endurance. Listen to this statement carefully. "I can pray for you, but I cannot pray for you." Some things you've got to do for yourself. No one can get through your wilderness for you. You've got to walk that road. Like that old song said, you've got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it all by yourself. Nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk. Got to walk it by yourself. It's walking that valley that's going to help you grow. If restoration comes in the valley, then you're going to have to go through it. Flesh doesn't like this next verse. James said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." God is strengthening you in this trial. Times of testing build inner strength and endurance. The sixth thing, it increases our patience. People ask for more joy. Abiding patience is the key to joy. If you pray for more joy, then know that God will build patience in you, and He teach patience through problems. Find a saint of God who has great joy, and I will show you a person that's been through great trials. They've learned the sweetness of patience. Hebrews 6 says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Here's the seventh thing. This wilderness, this trial, prepares us for greater things in God. Remember the words of Jesus, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He's that unjust and least is unjust also in much." It's the sevenfold purpose behind the wilderness. Let me recap it. It gets our attention. It teaches us to trust in God and His Word. It reveals issues in our character. It tests our faith and faithfulness. It forms an inner strength and endurance. It increases our patience. And it prepares us for greater things in God. That's a sevenfold process of a wilderness. While you're going through that wilderness, practice some wilderness principles. In the spiritual realm, there are some survival skills that are going to get you through this wilderness. First is surrender. Give up your will, your ways. Submit yourself to God. Say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Go on through your wilderness. Take hold of that altar. Pray. Talk to God. Talk to Him for yourself. You remember the message of Paul. He said, "There was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. Paul went to God. God helped me." The message back from heaven's throne, "My grace is sufficient." When he prayed in his weakness, God will transform it into strength. When you pray, you tap into the grace of God. Surrender. And then the second thing, claim the promises of God. Get into the Word of God and find those precious promises that will be food in your life. The Word can speak to you, enable you, empower you. Say, "Every promise in the book is mine." Quit confessing defeat and failure. Start speaking the promises of God. Here's something else. You've got to be a praiser. You've got to be grateful for His goodness. No matter how difficult your life is, God is good. He's good all the time. Get out of that foxhole, open up your eyes and ears, and begin to praise God for everything He's done. When you're going through the wilderness, you're going to find the purpose behind it all. You're going to exit wiser. You're going to be more mature. You're going to be stronger. Don't waste your wilderness. Let God take that wilderness you're in right at this very moment and do something so incredible. Let Him work His sevenfold process. And when you come out on the other side, you will look back and all things give thanks, and you will say, "Thank God for that wilderness and faith in hard times."
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.